We're just going to focus our attention on the Word of God for a few minutes and allow that to inspire us, allow it to speak into our hearts, allow it to make a difference in life where you are. That's what the Word of God is for. It's to break into our thinking, break into our spirit, and do something new and fresh within us. When I handed Jed my notes this morning, because he puts the scriptures on for us, he said, "Are you still in John? There's another book in the Bible, you know, there's other books." But I've been reading through John, and it is really strange how when we focus our attention on the Word and allow it to speak to us, stuff that we've read before suddenly takes on a different view. You get a different view of what it's about. And I've really enjoyed reading through John and just allowing just the odd scripture just to kind of speak something to my heart. And this morning, I want to talk about what do you believe? And some of that we've been talking about this morning, some of that we've been singing about. What do you believe? And very often when we say that we're a Christian or we believe in God or we have some kind of faith, people will say, "Well, what do you believe in then? What? How can you verbalize what you believe in?" And it is quite a challenge at times to put that sort of into words. What do I actually believe in? And I want to talk around that subject this morning. And very often when we hit hard times, when those times of pressure in life come along, our belief system can go out the window. We can forget all about it. We kind of revert back to what we think or what we want to do and not put our faith, not put our belief in God. Pressure always brings values and beliefs to the fore of our lifestyle. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about what do you believe and how God can help us in our beliefs. When we come to faith, none of us actually have any faith to come to faith. God gives us the faith to do that. What an amazing gift that is. It's a grace gift. When we're searching for truth, when we're searching for reality, in our human state, we can't work it out because God is higher than us. His thoughts are higher. His actions are different than what we would do. And we need something to spark that connection between us and him. And he even gives us the faith to believe in him. And I just want to focus on a scripture this morning. It's John 20, verse 3 to 10. So this is after Jesus has been crucified and he's been raised from the dead. And this is the morning that he was raised from the dead. And the disciples are all over the place, really, in their beliefs. They don't know what to believe anymore. And this is a great scripture that just highlights the moment that we get it. The moment we get it. It says, "So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying." I'm going to talk about that moment when one of his disciples saw the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus and believed. So what was he believing before that? Maybe we can discover some of those answers as we go along this morning. I think when we read the Bible, we can fall into the trap that everybody who was around Jesus really got him, that everybody had it together, that they were full of faith, that they were well prepared to take this journey on once Jesus had gone. And Jesus spent his life amongst thousands of people, demonstrating through miracles and through his testimony and through his teaching the power of God. Many believed but remained skeptical about the authority of Jesus as the Son of God. and this ultimately led to his death. We have Jesus talking about him being resurrected, him being prepared for death and rising again, and this caused some consternation throughout the community and throughout the religious leaders who were there at the time. See, Jesus brought a real challenge about who God was, about the new kingdom of heaven that he was explaining to everybody. And even at times, his disciples misunderstood who Jesus was and what he was teaching. Around the same time of the scripture that we read before, we have the journey of the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus, discussing about Jesus. And Jesus drew up by the side of them, and he began to journey with them. And he was saying, Jesus said to them, what's the matter? They were downcast. They weren't full of joy or freedom. And they were saying, well, haven't you heard the news that this man, Jesus, who told us he was going to save the nation, has been killed? He's been crucified. And we just don't know what to do now. We put all our faith, all our hope in him, and he's no longer here. They've misunderstood the mission and the message of Jesus. Eventually, they got it as well. Jesus sat down with them and broke bread, like we do. We remember the Lord's death, and he broke bread with them. And he said, at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they began to understand. They saw who Jesus was. Those who had lived around Jesus and who were at the crucifixion had seen the miracles of Jesus and heard him teach, but didn't believe him. And sometimes we put ourselves in a place, well, if I'd have been around when Jesus was around, if I'd have sat next to him, if I'd have witnessed some of the miracles, that would have made it much easier to believe. That's how we think. It wasn't the case. While Jesus was on the cross, this is what Matthew 27 says. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. Very often we think we believe what we see with our eyes. And we think sometimes that if Jesus was around us, it would make it easier to believe. But that's not the case. These people had lived around Jesus and seen some incredible miracles, experienced some incredible new teaching about the kingdom of God, and still they couldn't see it. Seeing Jesus needs a bit of help. Do you remember the time when Jesus asked Peter, who do you think I am? He was talking to these disciples. Well, some think you're a prophet, some think you're this, some think you're that. Jesus said, but who do you think that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response was, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. In other words, you haven't worked that out. But my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And as I'm talking this morning, maybe you're struggling with some of the things that you believe in about Jesus, about the kingdom of heaven, and we're asking for some revelation, some help from God to see it. So if you're struggling with something along belief, then God knows that we struggle. God knows that. It's called a mystery. He calls it the mystery of God because we can't work him out without his help to reveal truth to our hearts. So this morning, as you're just listening to this word, allow the Holy Spirit to just reveal truth to your heart so that you see it and you believe it. The disciple in the scripture that we read, the one that went into the tomb after a little bit of hesitation. And sometimes we do hesitate with our faith. You know, Peter was straight in there, wasn't he? No hesitation whatsoever. Bang, I'm going in. I want to see what has happened here because I'm not understanding it, but I want to see it. And Peter went straight in. And the disciple who arrived first, it says after a while, he went in to have a look. He was hesitant. He was reticent for whatever reason. But it took him a while to step into the tomb to see what had really happened. And it says, he saw and he believed. What did he see? Well, physically, he saw that Jesus wasn't there. His body had gone. And that the clothes were folded up and rolled up and placed neatly where Jesus had been. He saw that physically. But something happened to his faith at that moment. See, Jesus had been telling his disciples that he would die and he would be raised from the dead. Although they heard it, it didn't mean much to them. At that moment when he was teaching them, he was always telling them, he was preparing them for his death and his resurrection, but for some reason, it just didn't sink into either their thought processes or their heart. And as you read scripture, you find that they're all a little bit surprised when Jesus was killed, even though he'd been telling them that was going to happen. I don't know whether you've experienced stuff like that in your life, but I can remember some going to school, and your teachers are teaching, you think, what's the point of this? This is a waste of time. Or your parents start teaching you about life, and you say, they don't know anything, do they, really? Who are they? They're just my parents. I know much more than they do. And we listen to this stuff, but it doesn't really mean much. And then as we move on in life into adulthood and we begin to take responsibility for our lives, we think, oh, right, I remember somebody teaching me about this. I remember my dad telling me this would happen. And suddenly our eyes are opened and we begin to see the wisdom and the value of some of the things that we've learned as a schoolboy. And it can be like that in church life as well. We hear so much. If you come here every week, you'll hear a lot of stuff. You'll hear somebody speak every week. We worship every week. We allow God to minister to us. But it's got to sink into our spirit. And we need help for that to happen. The disciples had been on a journey of discovery with Jesus. They lived with him. He opened their eyes to the kingdom of heaven. But as you read scripture, it wasn't until he was ascended and gone that they began their real life as believers. They began to grow in God. They began to understand what it was about. Under the pressure of leadership, under the pressure of community, under all those pressures, they began to grow in faith and began to understand what this belief system was all about. At that moment, when the disciple went into the tomb and saw and believed, suddenly what Jesus had been telling them began to open his eyes, his spiritual eyes, his faith eyes, and he believed. I'm sure he believed already. There were no non-believers as disciples, but there are depths of belief. And suddenly this disciple was moved from belief in, as I believe in Jesus, to it's true. It's absolutely true. And it changed his whole perception of who Jesus was and who God was working in his life. As Christians, we often say here that it's not about coming here. It's not about attending. It's not about studying theology. But becoming a Christian is about having an encounter with God when we have that revelation in our heart and we believe. A revelation in our spirit that Jesus is alive and he's living in us. And that's a moment that we have to experience to understand what this disciple experienced. The majority of us here today are believers. And we know the reality of forgiven sin and a new life created in Christ. We've experienced that moment when Jesus broke into our hearts, when he broke into our lives, and he began to transform us. He began to speak into our lives. But we are asked continually to believe in Jesus. It is a life of faith. Salvation isn't the only experience that we go through as believers. Excuse me. We have to believe that Jesus and everything that he has for us is available. And if you're anything like me, and you may or may not be, but in some areas you'll be the same as me, You'll have periods in your life when you've allowed unbelief to become part of your daily walk. As Jed said today, as we were worshipping, did God really say that? Does God really love me? Has God really got plans for my future? Can he forgive me? Can he allow me into his church? And we can believe in unbelief because that is counter everything that the Bible will teach us about God and his love for us. There'll be times when I've become self-sufficient, not believing certain parts of my life were important to God. And very often we can do that as believers. We can go, well, I know God's interested in my heart, he's interested in forgiving me, but he's not interested in that area of my life, or that area of my life. He's not interested in that. But the Bible tells us that we were chosen before the foundation of the world. We are taught that God knows everything about us, that we are loved, that we are a new creation, that nothing can separate us from his love. And yet at times, sometimes those pressure times, we don't believe it. We lay down our faith because we don't think God is interested. We are deceived by the enemy into unbelief. We can so easily forget what we've been given in Christ, what is available through him, and what he wants to do in our lives. If you're in that place this morning, you just need to acknowledge that, but we need a new heart revelation of Jesus. We need a freshness, a new revelation of what he's trying to do in our life. And there's a story in the Bible, I think, I love this story, because it's somebody who's been honest with Jesus. And it's somebody who is at a time of pressure, he's desperate for Jesus to do something, and he's honest with Jesus when he talks to him. So let's read that together. It's Mark 9. He said, it has often thrown him is his son, into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Wow. Are you in that place this morning where you believe and you need help to overcome your unbelief? He was being honest. He said, I've seen you do all this stuff, Jesus. I've lived when you've been around and done miraculous things. And I'm coming now with my son and I want you to heal him. But I need some help to believe. Can you do that? Well, Jesus did and healed his son. So this morning, do you believe, or what do you believe? As a believer, not as an unbeliever, but as a believer, what do you believe? Are you allowing unbelief to become the master of your life, or are we going to sing a little louder? Are we going to do that in our lives? The great thing about God is that he knows all this about us. He understands what's going in our hearts. And he wants to help us. He wants to give us what we need to help us in our unbelief. Sometimes we just need to ask. And maybe that's what we're afraid of doing. Sometimes when you ask for somebody, it displays your weakness or your inability. It challenges your self-esteem because you need to ask for something. But Jesus told us to keep asking. If you need something, keep asking. Keep asking. Because I want to answer, but I need to hear your heart. So just as that disciple who believed in Jesus walked into the tomb, and suddenly that area of unbelief, that area of misunderstanding was overcome because the Holy Spirit just opened his heart up and he believed. So what about the promises that God has given to you? Do you believe that? What about his provision today? His freedom, his love, his forgiveness, which is all true, but maybe you need some help in believing and allowing God to minister into your life. Some of the songs we sang this morning were awesome. It says, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. Do you believe that? This is our Father's house. This is it. The church. There's a place for everybody. Do you believe that? Or do you feel excluded or isolated? That's not true. There is a place for everybody in the kingdom of heaven, in his house. And that song that I've just alluded to, louder, I'm going to sing a little louder, louder than my unbelief. And sometimes we need to recognize our unbelief and sing a little louder in our heart, allow God to do something, allow him to give us what we need to overcome circumstances that may be difficult. So what do you believe? As you reflect on your life, what do you believe about God? What do you believe about him working in your heart and in your life? And maybe you need to just go into the tomb, forget your reticence or your fears of what you might experience, but take that step of faith and allow God to open your eyes so that you believe once again all the things that God has promised for you. Amen. Thank you for listening to me this morning.
Thank you, Mark. Lots to think about there. We're going to take our offering. There's a song we haven't sung. I think it's just called Our God. I think we'll stand. Don't know whether somebody can come and pass these up and down the rows or whatever. Steve's going to do it, is he?